Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Hi, Dana. It's John. You're on WGN in Chicago. How are you?
I'm great, John. Thanks for having me.
So AL.com, Alabama.com, AL.com is where I find you. Your opinion pieces appear in newspapers in Huntsville. What other cities do they read you in down there?
Also in Birmingham and Mobile, Alabama.
Got it. So what's your beat then, the political scene?
I cover sort of the intersections of faith, culture, and politics, which is, as you can imagine, never, ever controversial.
Faith, culture, and politics. Yeah, I suppose politics and faith are more interwoven in Alabama than they are in Illinois.
They are intrinsically interwoven. We are a largely evangelical state. And really, since the 1980s, with the rise of the moral majority and what we know of now as the religious right, there has been sort of a conflation of faith and political activism in the Deep South, and Alabama is certainly no exception to that.
States are sovereign. I got into an argument with some friends in a podcast that we did today, and I said, the people in Alabama can do whatever they want. And they don't have to care what some slick talk show hosts in Chicago think. They're sovereign. They get to enact laws any way they want. And if they stand up to a court standard, then they win. They get to do whatever they want. But there is also this notion of a separation between church and state. I just wonder what your thoughts are about that general divide down there.
Well, when we talk about, you know, the reasons for enacting pro-life legislation. Obviously, for people on a personal level, their views on life and the sanctity of life are often rooted in a religious worldview or a biblical worldview, but also for people who are, you know, scientific thinkers and constitutional thinkers. They believe that the preponderance of science right now makes no, you know, wonder about when life begins. We look at children now on 4D ultrasounds in the womb and watch them suck their thumbs and kick and make funny expressions, and they are undeniably human beings. And so if you understand that they are human beings in the womb, and you understand that our Constitution protects life and liberty for all people, then it becomes just a constitutional issue, and it doesn't really have to be anchored to a particular religious worldview.
And I guess that's why there's no exception then for rape or incest here. If it's life at conception or
that's right.
6 weeks,
it's a
then
question. Yeah, it's a question of personhood. It's a question of when science tells us that a person is a person. And, you know, legislators in Alabama who introduced this bill have made no bones about the fact that it has been written with this very bold stroke, with no exceptions, for the very reason of establishing the personhood argument for future legal challenges. Their legal strategy here is to have this law challenged by the federal courts with the hope that it will travel all the way up the judicial food chain to the Supreme Court and will be the catalyst for a new examination of Roe versus Wade.
I wonder if, though, writing it that stringently almost dooms it. I mean, if they really do want to outlaw abortion or make it more restrictive in Alabama, maybe they should have dialed it back. This makes sense if you're looking for a fight, but it might not be a very practical solution.
That's a fair point to make. And, you know, legal analysts have been all over the board, you know, as I've listened to people discuss the effectiveness of this strategy over the past 2 or 3 days since the bill was passed by the Alabama Senate. Opinions vary widely about whether or not this is the most effective way to, you know, fully reduce the number of abortions to zero in the state of Alabama. And I guess only time will tell how the courts will treat it and what will happen there.
A lot of us have seen pictures online in the reporting of this of the 25 white men in the Senate who voted and made this a reality. but it started in the House. Can you talk about the demographics? Who voted for this? Did any women vote for this? Did any Democrats vote for this?
Yes, the Alabama legislature on both sides is overwhelmingly Republican and overwhelmingly conservative. And there are not enough women in the Alabama legislature, but many of the women who are there are staunch pro-life conservatives. And that's just, you know, they are a derivative of the culture that we live in. They are overwhelmingly evangelical and overwhelmingly conservative and pro-life. So, right. Yeah, there are a lot of pro-life women in the state of Alabama, and I'm no exception to that.
So I understand, but so it didn't cut a gender line, a racial line. I'm just trying to think of, you would think that the Democrats, for instance, such as they are down there, would be fighting this. Were they, the Democrats?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Most of the Democrats in the Senate walked out of the vote and didn't even participate. It was hotly contested by them, but they just really have no power. I mean, we have a super majority right now, and so, you know, they can make a, you know, an oral objection and let the record show that they were against this legislation, but they really lack any means to stop it.
If the belief is that life begins at conception, what about in vitro? If a couple is conceiving that way, then are those lives protected, or what's the status of that?
That's an excellent question, and there was some discussion in the Alabama Senate debate about that nuance in the law, and I believe there's actually language in this bill that talks about this applying to unborn children in the womb.
Yes, I saw
therefore,
that too.
It would not apply to embryos that are frozen and fertilized and sitting and waiting to be implanted. Now, on an ethical level, I think it's a question that deserves pondering if life begins at conception. And we may, as this debate progresses, get to a place where that's something as a culture that we begin to discuss more and decide what we think about that.
Yeah. And I understand your description of the constituency there in Alabama, but I also have seen in a number of places today that 1 in 4 women have had an abortion. I find that hard to believe, but let's assume for a moment that's true. I wonder what women generally in Alabama think if 20 or 25% of them themselves have had this procedure.
I find that extraordinarily difficult to believe, particularly in the state of Alabama, where there are only 1 or 2 clinics that provide abortions. I mean, it would be almost logistically impossible for 1 in 4 women to, A, have had the need, and B, have had access to those services. So I'm going to push back on that statistic a little bit and say I find that to be a bit inflated, especially in a state like Alabama. In some other place, perhaps.
Yeah.
But I don't think that would be the case here.
So it passed the House. What was the vote in the House?
You know, I do not have that number in front of me. I wish I did.
Fair enough. But it
passed easily, I can tell you that.
And it easily passed the Senate. And then the governor seemed to be a little cheeky about her affiliation with this. She was saying up until the time she signed it in private that she would wait to see how it was written. Was there any doubt, though, that the governor would sign this?
I don't think there was, because Governor Ivey has been on the record for many years as a supporter of the sanctity of life. And, you know, the stage was set for this back in 2018 when Alabama voters passed a constitutional amendment affirming that we are a state committed to pro-life values and restricting any usage of state funds for abortion services. And, you know, a lot of people saw that as a fluff amendment because as long as Roe v. Wade stands, it didn't really have any teeth. But it was sort of throwing down of the gauntlet, I felt like. And the governor was very much a proponent and in favor of that particular amendment. So even though she holds her cards pretty close to her chest about particular votes a lot of times, and she's careful about what she says, I don't think there was ever any doubt that she would sign the bill ultimately.
Lots of calls and texts about what they're doing in Alabama. My understanding is the bill won't become law. even though she signed it until November, and that's if it survives whatever court tests awaited. Dana Hall McCain writes about faith, culture, and politics. She's a columnist at AL.com, a series of newspapers down there. I need to take a break. Let's come back and read some of your texts or hear some of your comments. The number's 312-981-7200 on WGN. We're visiting with Dana Hall McCain. You can read her piece at AL.com. That's where we first discovered her. She writes and is syndicated in a series of newspapers in Alabama. Her views on this, as she alluded to earlier, are decidedly with the legislators and the governor in Alabama. That is, this is, you know, finish that sentence, sound judgment or constitutionally reasonable, or I don't know, what's your personal take on that?
I do think it's constitutionally appropriate and morally and ethically appropriate.
This texter said, are they going to ban the morning after pill next? Literally, is there conversation about that then?
You know, I have not heard conversation about that, but I would imagine that if there is an all-out ban on abortion, that it would include, you know, surgical abortion and oral medication-prompted abortion. So I would think that the morning after pill would fall into that category of being prohibited.
I don't know that a lot of movies or TV shows are being made in your state. It's not a knock against your state. I just don't know. But I know that Hollywood and some notable people have pushed back and said, well, then we're not going to go there. How does that resonate down there? Do people notice? Do they care? What are you all saying about that?
I don't think the average Alabama voter is worried about courting the approval of Hollywood or East Coast elites. That's just that's not their number one priority. When I tell you that it is a deeply religious state, and that many people do believe that they are answerable to God and to God alone, and I know that sounds like such hyperbole to people who don't come from a very religious culture, but yeah, it insulates them from a lot of the temptation to succumb to pressures like that, and I don't think that will have a big effect on Alabama voters or the popularity of these laws in our state.
Dana Hall McCain. Listen, Dana, this is you've done us a great favor here, and I'd like to continue to talk to you down the road, particularly as we get closer to November or whatever court challenges await you all. So let's stay in touch and continue to follow this story together.
That sounds great. Thanks so much, John.
You can read her piece at AL.com, and you'll just love it or you just won't. That's at AL.com. Her name is Dana Hall McCain.